The blockhouse estate has become the norm for new housing in Australia. This is especially true in northern Australia, where the old-style Queenslanders are being replaced with new air-conditioned block homes. Roger Mainwood and Lisa Law are involved with the new Tropical Urban Design Lab at James Cook University in Cairns.
I moved to Cairns almost 10 years ago, and I was surprised that people in Cairns were adapting to an air-conditioned climate. So that led to my research into how people were living in tropical cities up here in the far north of Queensland. And what did it take? What was the vernacular architecture? What was it changing from and to? And were we really all going to be forced to live in these template residential estates, which were essentially the ghettos of the future? I think I heard somebody call them once, because you have to lock them up and air condition them for most months of the year.
Roger, what factors have caused this transition from the traditional Queenslander style of house to masonry block houses in the tropics?
The inappropriateness of contemporary building design in our region really has come about because of cyclone activity. Because the Queenslander, the high-set Queenslander, as everyone would not be aware of, is was sort of pre-cyclone and actually stood up well to cyclone if they were appropriately built. In Darwin, you know, Cyclone Tracy, that wiped out suburbs of contemporary, of the day, high-set buildings. And their replacements were single-storey masonry block buildings. Masonry block as a building product has many benefits for building in the tropics, because all the issues about cyclone hold down and strength and ease of construction are met with masonry block. In the tropics, the modelling, the building code requires energy modelling by law. And the modelling that's been done was developed across the temperate zone, really, and then has been applied to the tropical zone. And it assumes necessarily, I suppose, that the house is air conditioned, and therefore the modelling requires minimal penetrations in walls, smaller window areas than what we know we like to live with in the tropics. For example,
the energy modeling software that Roger's talking about, the problem is that what it wants to do is give you small windows, because every time there's a window in the model, that's considered a leak. So your air conditioning doesn't operate very efficiently. So, you know, the way we used to design and build up here is you'd have a wall of louvers with windows and a porous building envelope that you could just open up for and get the breezes through the house. But the modelling software won't allow you to do that and get your star rating.
So a traditional Queenslander will always have a poor energy rating.
Indeed. Well, yeah. Because it's just full of leaks. Every louver is a leak, isn't it? But, and that's the tension, because you either think about building to make sure that the energy efficiencies are met, so that when you do run your air conditioning, it's efficient.
Well, it's almost that they're compelled to build them, because the energy code supports that construction, and it doesn't support a transparent model.
You end up living in a house that doesn't have enough porosity to let the breezes through.
Yeah, we probably need to create a better model.
Are block homes in housing estates what people want in the tropics?
It turns out that, you know, it's not that it's a consumer demand for these breeze block houses that they have to air condition. This is just the kind of built form that's being offered up by the developers in town, who have their own constraints of the costs of building materials in a remote place, and just looking for the materials that will weather the best.
Lisa, in your role at JCU, I know you've been researching subdivision and the design factors associated with it, which go well beyond just the energy ratings. Can you tell us some of the things that we're going to lose by throwing out the Queenslander and embracing these block homes?
Well, there's a couple of problems, because we're now following the principles of new urbanism, but only slightly, in that we now have quite small footprints for the for the template estates, and some of them are as small as
300 meters.
300 meter blocks.
Coming down from, you know, the standard quadrilateral block, 800 to 1,000 meters, bringing that down to 300 meters.
And so within those blocks, people are building out to the edges as far as they can. We're seeing the disappearance of backyards. We're seeing the disappearance of the eaves. There's also the drive for people, especially young people, first in the market to be buying these small lots with these houses built out to the edge, because it's all about the maximum floor area. And that means that we don't have space for trees anymore. And just coming back to cyclones, it's the research in Darwin shows that trees actually catch the debris.
That's right.
From cyclones. So we do need those trees, not just for shading.
And there's a perception that removing them is a better idea because of flying debris, which is wrong. Incorrect. I recently heard anecdotally, so I can't confirm it as fact, but the loss of trees in Cairns has resulted in the loss of street trees in Cairns has resulted in the temperature of water delivery increasing. And that because of the increased water temperature, the increased concern about bacterial load, that chlorine levels have had to increase.
I think street trees are also very important, but I think we really need to rethink the fence. And we know that the airflow in subdivisions up here is severely impeded by the erection of very tall fences. It's that the air never gets a chance to touch the ground. So we need to rethink what our fences are like. Good fences might make good neighbours, but they make for a terrible airflow.
I guess this idea of the subdivisions, housing estates being the ghettos of the future, stems partly from climate change and the likely increase in the number of hot days, and also the increase in the price of electricity. Roger, do you think we'll see changes in designs in the tropics?
The economic lever of electricity costs and the construction changes that climate change is going to push onto people are probably really powerful drivers.
We need a new mixed mode design. Yeah. So there's the passive design only, which many people have lived in for a number of years. There seem to be people are transitioning in those houses into air conditioning them. Then there's the ones that are built in the new template estates that are fully considered to be air conditioned from the moment they're conceived on a computer. So there is space for a lot of mixed mode ideas where maybe you can manipulate the envelope a little bit.
How do we get this to come about? I think we've got to go back to those levers that we can apply to, or let the consumer apply, so the consumers need to know.
I think the problem isn't just with talking to the developers and getting them to think about building differently for the changing climate. It's not just about cyclones. It's about talking to people about the way that they want to live and educating the desire for different kinds of housing and dwelling, and how much climate control do they need. It's about public education around what are good designs, what are the outcomes of the decisions that we make.
The new lab that yourself and Roger are involved with in Cairns will be pursuing that agenda. Can you tell us a little bit about the lab and how you see yourselves proceeding?
So the lab is, we're so happy to have architects, industry people with the Tropical Urbanism and Design Lab, the TUD Lab, because we know that these problems of sustainable tropical design aren't something that you're going to solve in an academic research paper. They need experts who work in industry and build things, who have different knowledge of how the whole neighborhood might be set up and different connections to local government. So they come with a fresh set of ideas.
The specific issue of energy ratings in the tropics leading to unsustainable block homes, has that come about because the regulations are made in southern Australia rather than in the tropics?
Oh, that's where it initiated from. And then I suppose there hasn't been enough appetite to do the research. And it's the lab, for example, that we hope to see that sort of research.
The capacity to do the research, yeah, up here, which is partly, I think, why we need to look to places like Indonesia. They decided to start their own green building council in Indonesia, and they're addressing these issues head on for how does this software work in the hot and humid climate. And so from JCU, our agenda is the tropics, so maybe it makes more sense for us to be having conversations with Indonesians. But I think the lab is about having better outcomes in the built environment, in the sense that we want to have cities in the tropics that respond to climate, but are also inclusive in the vision of their designs. So it's not just a bunch of experts who are going to design us a climate resilient city, but it's the city that everybody wants.